Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Hundreds of thousands of babies are born in California each year, roughly 420,000, and that's the latest count from the state, which is back in 2021. But the pregnancy journey can vary drastically from one parent to the next. Although there have been huge strides in maternal health over the decades, the United States has the highest maternal death rate when compared to other developed high-income countries, and that trickles down to California. By far, Black women account for the majority of deaths during or in the immediate aftermath of pregnancy. In California, the death rate for Black birthing people is more than three times higher than others. In response, state lawmakers passed a law requiring hospitals to conduct unconscious bias training. That was back in 2019. And in the nearly 4 years since the law took effect, less than one in five hospitals in California have complied. CalMatters healthcare reporter Kristen Wong joins us with more about the findings, as well as California's maternal mortality rate as it is ticking upward. Kristen, thanks for making the time.
Of course, always great to be here.
So CalMatters is investigating maternal care in the state. How did this come about?
Really just taking a look at the, you know, long-term upward trend of maternal mortality and severe maternal outcomes is really quite stunning. So it was something that myself and my colleagues wanted to dig into. Since 2012, California's maternal mortality rate has been steadily creeping upward. And, you know, given that the state is really looked at as a model for the rest of the country for improving maternal outcomes, you know, it seems like something that is quite stunning, really.
Yeah, I mean, that's about a decade of an upward trend in the wrong direction. And then in your reporting, you also say that according to the state, that more than half of these pregnancy-related deaths are preventable. When I read that, that's just a striking finding. What are you learning that helps explain why they're not being prevented?
It's a really complicated issue. Some of it has to do with, you know, population changes. Women are tending to have kids later. And our underlying population health is also getting, you know, worse, or we have sort of like pre-existing conditions that lend themselves to things, you know, things like hypertension, diabetes also lend themselves to poor outcomes during birth. But really, you know, these disparities become especially stark and make it more clear that it's about, you know, quality healthcare access when you start to look at, you know, what kinds of insurance people have and at the racial and ethnic disparities. Like you mentioned, Black women have more than three times the death rate of anyone else. And that spans all income levels and all education levels. And so really there's something else going on there.
Yeah, and this report, your recent reporting, it comes on the heels of a new investigation by the California Department of Justice, the Attorney General's office. Why was this launched?
So in 2020, a law took effect requiring any facility that does, you know, maternal health care to train their employees on implicit bias. There's a ton of research about how racism makes its way into healthcare and how that impacts outcomes. And the Attorney General, the Department of Justice, you know, took a look at this to see what facilities were actually complying. They assessed hospitals specifically, although the law also applies to primary care, people who do prenatal care. And the findings were really quite you know, quite extraordinary in a bad way. Very few hospitals, as you mentioned, were in compliance. And the report also notes that it was not until the Department of Justice asked the hospitals about their training status that more than a third of them began training.
And this, you know, law that requires compliance, it came from state lawmakers back in 2019. I believe it's called like the California Dignity in Pregnancy and Childbirth Act. You know, can you remind us what the intention of that law is?
Of course. So this law, I mean, it really was one of the first in a series of recent steps to try and address this vast disparity among poor maternal outcomes with among Black women and birthing people. So this law, it required all maternal healthcare staff to take training on implicit bias and systemic racism in healthcare, and also on, you know, sort of what these poor outcomes tend to look like.
When it comes to structural racism within the medical field, what does that look like? You know, when you actually talk to people to better understand why this law was even needed in the first place.
There's a lot of research about racism in healthcare settings. I think actually that Attorney General Rob Bonta, when he was, you know, talking about the results of this investigation, he actually gave a very personal example about his wife, also a lawmaker, Mia Bonta, that, you know, she was in a lot of pain during pregnancy. They went to the hospital and she was accused of, you know, seeking drugs improperly, and the staff treated her poorly and did not believe her. And I think that's a really, you know, it's well documented that that's a very common experience for Black women who are pregnant.
Yeah, I mean, even, you know, in the entertainment industry or in pop culture, you have Beyonce and Serena Williams. They both have, you know, shared their experiences about having negative or even life-threatening experiences during childbirth. So this also even spans, you know, income as well. It's not just race or ethnicity when we're talking about this. So when this law came about, it was to prevent or to train to prevent implicit bias. Can you help us visualize what this implicit bias training, you know, what it looks like or what it should look like?
Well, as one lawmaker assembly member, Akilah Weber, said, it is the quote unquote bare minimum of what health professionals can do to improve these outcomes. So there are a number of approved sort of training programs that hospitals and other facilities can use, but it's really to sort of debunk these, you know, false myths about how, you know, Black people differ physiologically from everybody else. I think there was a survey in 2016 that found about half of white medical students believed that there were biological differences between Black patients and everyone else. And that really led them to dismiss patient concerns and make inaccurate treatment decisions. And so the training is really aimed at sort of deconstructing those myths.
Given that, you know, we know that maternal death rates are known to disproportionately impact Black women and birthing people, and this is the driving force behind that law, and now we're learning after an investigation, you know, hospitals, the vast majority are not complying with this law. Can you give us a better picture of how bad those disparities are in California?
Of course. So Black women are more than three times more likely than any other racial and ethnic group to die during pregnancy. They also have the highest rates of severe maternal morbidity or poor outcomes like hemorrhage or sepsis. And among infants as well, Black infants are three times more likely than white infants to die, either during childbirth or immediately after. And the next highest group is Pacific Islanders, and they are still 1.5 times higher, more likely to die.
And it's important to note that when it comes to Black birthing people, they're just a sliver of California pregnancies, like 5%, yet they make up, you know, the majority of pregnancy-related deaths in the state.
Yeah, the disparities are very, very stark.
So when it comes to this investigation, which was just released this month, you know, how did you better understand why so few hospitals are in compliance with this law?
You know, one of the things that lawmakers and the Attorney General brought up is that the law really didn't have any teeth built into it. You know, the law took effect in 2020, and theoretically everybody should have been preparing to be in compliance, but there were no specific deadlines or penalties for non-compliance. And there's also not a state agency that is directed to enforce the law. So if the Department of Justice had not independently decided to assess whether hospitals and other facilities were in compliance, we still would have no idea. And probably, you know, based on their findings, that many of these facilities didn't even start training until they got a Department of Justice inquiry, which I'm sure is probably alarming. you know, there would probably still be a very, very low proportion of hospitals that had even begun training. Actually, I think it's worth noting that when they started, not a single employee in the state was trained.
Not a single employee in the state. And that was before it became law, correct?
No. This was when the Attorney General started the investigation more than a year and a half after the law took effect.
Wow. Okay. So then what did the Attorney General, Attorney General Bonta have to say about this? I mean, he's also a former lawmaker.
He is. I mean, he really encouraged lawmakers to, amend the law, improve it, the law is the first draft, to strengthen and add some more regulations into this.
As it stands today, then, do you have an idea of how many hospitals have complied with this law, a percentage within the state?
So the investigation ended last summer, and at that point, about 3/4 of hospitals had started the training. Among those hospitals, a majority of the employees, around 80%, were fully trained, but they were still not 100% trained. And that's sort of the most recent data point that we have.
Yeah, and there's still a ways to go, clearly. I mean, when it comes to the lawmakers who are currently state lawmakers, did they have any response to these findings?
They did. I mean, I think that Assemblymember Akilah Weber, who is herself a physician and specifically an obstetrician, said that she pledged to really take a look at this and follow up on this issue in the upcoming legislative session.
What about hospitals? What do they have to say? I mean, is it a bandwidth issue? I mean, did you get a better understanding of why this hasn't happened?
There hasn't been an official sort of response from the hospital association. I know one of the things that was discussed was, the impact of COVID, as we all know, that really disrupted everything in the healthcare system and hospitals in particular. But, as I mentioned, Assemblymember Akilah Weber is a physician and she was still, seeing patients at the time. And so she and other lawmakers really brought up the point that even though hospitals, were dealing with something unprecedented in the early days of the pandemic, there was still room for residents and physician training and for, this kind of continued education to happen, and that it's really a matter of priorities. And it's clear that hospitals were not prioritizing this training and this law.
Well, and also the pandemic brought out disparities within healthcare, because of COVID-19. And then also during that time, when you look at data from the state, I mean, pregnancy-related deaths also jumped significantly, in 2021 because, related to, it's during the same time as COVID-19 and the pandemic. Finally, Kristen, when it comes to what this law could look like with teeth, did you get a better idea of what that could look like following this investigation?
There was sort of, as I mentioned earlier, some talk about, adding penalties, having at least one, if not more, state agencies in charge of enforcing the law, of assessing regularly. Like I mentioned, the Attorney General's investigation concluded last summer. So it's been more than a year since we have any idea like how many hospitals are in compliance, and kind of, making that information public, I think, often goes a really long way in terms of compliance.
Is there other legislation currently on the table that the state has passed that's trying to curb this issue, maternal deaths?
A couple of years ago, lawmakers passed what is known as the Momnibus Act, and that was also a package of bills aimed at improving this great disparity in these poor maternal outcomes among Black women. And that included a lot of things like Medi-Cal reimbursement for doulas. It also had Medi-Cal cover pregnant people up to a year post-birth, which is actually the time period in which most women die. And so there have been a lot of recent efforts to try and, turn these numbers around.
And this is my finally, I know I already said finally, but this is my last question. Where's your reporting taking you next on this issue?
We are reporting across the state, Imperial County, the far northern counties. There have been, it's a national trend that maternity wards are closing across the country. California is certainly not immune to that trend. And that really poses an access problem, which is something that has come up in LA County as well. The communities that are impacted by these closures and by the staff leaving the area subsequently tend to be communities that are already, face disproportionate impacts in terms of access to other kinds of healthcare.
Kristen, thank you so much.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
That is CalMatters healthcare reporter Kristen Wong talking about an investigation from the California Attorney General's office, which found that the vast majority of hospitals are not complying with unconscious bias training when it comes to maternal health care. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.